From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the second day of November 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, California Senator Boxer wants to get started on the markup on the climate change bill tomorrow. The DNA of the pig has been decoded by researchers right here on the U of I campus. And the EU has approved three more varieties of GMO corn for import and consumption, but has yet to grant farmers there the right to plant that corn. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
On this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in Chicago. The nearby contract in the wheat pit finished the December futures at 5.16¾. It was up 22½ cents. The March at 5.36¾, up 22¾. And the May at 5.49, up 22 cents. July futures, that's the harvest month, at 5.59½, up 22½ cents. In Kansas City, where they trade hard red, December futures at 5.20. Up 21 cents on the afternoon. Back in Chicago for the corn pit now, 3.82¼. The settlement price up 16¼. The March at 3.95¾, up 16½. And May futures at 4.04¾, up 16½ cents. July at 5.13½, it finished 17 higher. September futures at 4.20¼, up 16½ cents. And next year's December futures at 4.28¾, up 17 cents. Soybeans now. November contract, 9.97½, up 19½ cents. January at 9.98, up 21½. The March at $10, up 25. May at 9.95, up 25. And next year's November at 9.81½, up 19½ cents. December bean meal for the day at 302.70, up 5.70. Oil at 36.79, up 39. Dease live cattle, 86.22½, up 55. No feeders at 95.12½, up 32½. And lean hogs at 57.72½, up $1.02½. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour for the afternoon. Crude oil futures, $78.13, $1.13 higher on the afternoon. The ethanol traded the November contract to $1.95½ today. That was up 2 cents on the day. And the natural gas at $4.83¼, down 21¾ cents. RBOB gasoline at $1.98¼, up 2¼ cents. Diesel fuel or heating oil at 204¼, up 3⅙ cents. And the gold futures at $10,053.40 an ounce, up 10,053.40, up $13.70. The Dow now at 9,771, just about 60 points higher on the afternoon. And the Goldman Sachs for the day at 503.63, up 6.82. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like today from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. Ed says that tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies should spread across the two-state region. Lows will range from around 25 in northwestern Illinois to just about 40 in the far south. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 46 in northeastern Indiana to 58 in the far southern part of Illinois. A few sprinkles will be possible early on Wednesday, especially in northern areas. Otherwise, should have dry weather. During the coming week, temperatures will remain close to average during the middle of this week. Highs mostly in the 50s, lows in the 30s. There are signs that unseasonably mild weather will arrive for the weekend to early next week. That should help drying rates. Some showers, though, will return possibly on Tuesday, November the 10th, followed by a bit colder weather.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, is on the line with us this afternoon. Hi, Kurt. How are you today?
Good, Todd. Thank you. Glad to be with you again.
Well, let's talk about this marketplace and what it really means. I suppose a few people were pretty surprised that a market on this Monday, given last week, managed to rally. Did that seem out of the ordinary to you?
Well, it was a pleasant surprise with the forecast the way it is and the uncertainty of the outside markets there most of the day. One did expect selling pressure to come in, especially at the end of the day here, as the weather forecast does enable a few producers to get going here today. And as the week moves on, it depends who gets some showers and who does not receive showers. But the mindset was to see some harvest pressure sort of kick in as we go through the week. But as we rapidly approach the closing bell, we seemed to have forgotten or wasn't much publicity about the commodity fund buying coming in. Today is the first new trading day of the month. And as we mentioned before here, it's back to the point now where the public's appetite for commodities, especially the grains particularly, has been re-whetted again here where they've got a taste for it once again. So we saw a huge amount of buying come in the last 5 minutes on investment money coming back into the grain sector, Todd.
Well, let's talk about this nearby December corn contract, because now we're at 382 and a quarter on the settlement price. I would think that most folks had thought 380 and better, these futures, might have been a place to start pricing some corn out. If you had not, that's reached that a couple of times and went well, of course, above that into the 10 or 13 area at one point in the last month and a half. Is there anything that producers need to be doing or thinking about today once we've reached this mark again, or do you think there'll be more follow-through?
Well, there should be some follow-through, but that's going to be the challenge, is to see if we follow through or not. The investment money comes in at the last part of the day. I don't particularly think the investment money is going to be there buying tonight or buying during the trade tomorrow. So as a producer, the strategy you mentioned there, if you don't have a whole lot already priced, yes, this mid-380 area is a good area to get caught up, because we're going to basically, you know, have quite a bit of corn coming at us here in the next 2 months, per se, because as we visit with producers, we're still hearing yields much, much better than expected. And if we continue to hear these strong yields holding together, the USDA could come in and probably revise the production number a little higher.
And you think that'll happen?
Well, I don't personally think so, but we will see higher numbers this week. We have Informa coming out this week and FC Stone coming out this week with their private estimates. I'm sure they're going to be a little bit higher. But with all said and done, I feel probably the numbers we're going to be faced with are probably going to be remained unchanged. If we go back to the last report, the numbers were correct, and there was a lot of confidence in those numbers due to ear counts and so forth. But I think the main question that was a concern as we left the October report was the test weight. And so that's going to be a determining factor as we move along here, whether or not these test weights hold up or not.
Now switch your attention and talk about the lead option corn market, what it looks like technically to you.
Technically, December had an excellent day today. The momentum indicators were down. Today's higher close has helped turn those indicators back up. December corn futures had a low of 59 and a quarter, 359 and three quarters. If you're a technician, use retracement levels. This 358 area was 50% back down to the September low. So we reached 50%, bounced off of it real quick. We did have a new low and a higher close, sort of a technical hook reversal up. So if the market can hold these gains here, the technicians are going to view last night's low as support. But the main thing that was said during all that was if we hold together here and follow through.
Yeah, so at the moment on the weekly charts, we have a hook up, and on the daily charts, you have an outside up day, which is a good sign. And then if you turn your attention to the bean market, do you see a similar pattern or a pattern that shows you upside potential?
Well, beans, same type of scenario. The key was the retracement levels back to those September lows. We got down to this 960 area. The 50% retracement level was 957. But we held last week's low. We failed to sort of follow through there and take out last week's low. It seemed to me, when watching the closing minutes of the trade, once we got to this 92 level of January beans, we ran into some buy stop, some very aggressive buying. Last week's high was 91.5, so I'm sure we had the trade watching last Thursday's high, that is, and once we got above it, the buying momentum came in. If you're a momentum follower, we had the momentum down until today. We've kinked the stochastics and the momentum indicators all up here, so as long as we don't get back a whole lot of gains that we posted here today, we'll probably see these indicators start to turn sideways to higher.
For corn and soybeans, what are the good reasons, fundamentally sound reasons, that they might turn higher? The export inspections have not been good for corn. They were okay. They were pretty good for this morning for soybean, actually, though.
You know, an export inspections, that's a tough one because we don't have a whole lot of crop out to really ship out. So
right.
Those are going to drag. Bean export shipments were good. I think that reflects the excellent harvest weather we had there before this last round, and we pretty well shipped a lot there. So the actual sales is the key. As long as we don't have cancellations from China, the bean sales ought to remain strong. Fundamentally, exports on corn sales are lagging year-ago levels, so that's kind of a concern, especially with people promoting, you know, the lower dollar and so forth. So on that fundamental note, it's going to be real important for this corn demand to stay strong here to offset maybe a little potential increase in yield. But the bottom line probably is whether or not these yields stay strong as we go through a good part of harvest. This afternoon, I think the trade probably bought a little bit going to close due to the idea of harvest progress will continue to lag. Last week we saw corn harvest 20% complete, and they're looking for 24 to 27% complete. And if you even analyze that a little further, that last week's number 20%, if you take Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, some of your key producers, that only added up to about 15% complete. So we're looking at the slowest progress we've seen going clear back to the 60s and 70s. Bean harvest last week, 44% complete. The trades have dialed in to see harvest completion of about 56 to 62% as a nation. But once again, you take some of your bigger producing states, I think they'll be lucky to be over 30% if you just look at the bigger states.
All right. Thanks so much.
Very good.
And that's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
If you'd like to hear what Kurt had to say, again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. If you can't get to the web, how about trying our phone line at 217-333-3434.
In agricultural news, Senate Environment and Public Works Chairwoman Barbara Boxer says that tomorrow she wants to start the process of marking up climate change legislation that she is co-sponsoring with Senator John Kerry. However, Republican members of her committee say they may try to short-circuit the session by failing to show up for the Tuesday meeting, thus denying Boxer a quorum for working on the measure. An international group of scientists has decoded the DNA of the domestic pig, research that may one day prove useful in finding new treatments for both pigs and people. Larry Shook, a University of Illinois in Champaign biomedical science professor who led the DNA sequencing project, says, quote, "The pig is the ideal animal to look at lifestyle and health issues in the United States. Pigs and humans are similar in size and makeup, and swine are often used in human research. Scientists say they rely on pigs to study everything from obesity and heart disease to skin disorders." A New York meat company has recalled almost 546,000 pounds of ground beef. USDA says the meat sold by Asheville, New York-based Fairbank Farms was linked to cases of E. coli-related illnesses in Connecticut, Maine, and Massachusetts. New Hampshire health officials say one person died and two others became ill. The European Commission Friday approved three varieties of genetically modified corn for import and consumption in the European Union. The varieties, two developed by Monsanto and one by Pioneer Hybrid, were deemed safe by the European Food Safety Authority. The approvals, valid for 10 years, only cover importation and do not allow the crops to be grown in the European Union. A Taiwanese rights advocacy group says that it is vowing to push for a referendum in a bid to block the import of more U.S. beef products over health concerns. Consumers Foundation says in a statement, "We urge other non-governmental groups to join our referendum drive and the public to boycott U.S. beef on the bone." According to referendum laws, the foundation needs to collect more than 860,000 signatures in order to put the matter to a vote. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs you can hear online anytime you'd like. At our website, the address is willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. If you don't like it, no big deal. Come back, hit unsubscribe. It's all at willag.org. Now up next, you know, feed is the biggest input cost of dairy and beef production. And managing those costs is imperative to the financial health of the operations. I'll have more in just a bit on how the land-grant university here on this campus has developed a spreadsheet called the Cost of Feedstuff Calculator to help in that process.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
The Cost of Feedstuffs Calculator is simple to use and simple in design, says Mike Hutchins from the University of Illinois. He asked his colleagues in agricultural economics to develop a spreadsheet beef cattle and dairy producers could use to compare the cost of different types of feed. And he says they did it right.
You can put in corn stalks. You can put in barley. You can put in wet corn. You can put all the feedstuffs are there. And if your feedstuff isn't there, you can enter it. And then the computer will go ahead and calculate cost per unit of nutrient and then rank them. And so you can pick your favorite 10 or 15 or 25 and rank them on up.
Mike Hutchins is an Extension dairy specialist at Illinois. He and Extension beef specialist Dave Seibert developed the idea for the Cost of Feedstuffs Calculator. Seibert recognized the increasing feedstuffs choices brought on by the development of the ethanol industry and its co-products had created some financial confusion. It was difficult to compare the value of one feedstuff to another. So they gathered up the data and handed it off to the economist, including a couple of interesting twists. says Hutchins.
Probably two unique things about the software program would be, one, that there is a transportation cost. Many of our byproducts are FOB, FOB Decatur, FOB Peoria. And so if you know what your trucking costs are, you can put that in because that's a true cost. Some of the wet byproducts will have some losses involved, shrinkage, fermentation losses, and you put that in. So in other words, if you buy a semi-load and 2% is not fed because of wind loss or bird damage or spoilage, you put that in, and that reflects in the cost as well. So it allows the producer or the user to look at two other variables besides just nutrients, and allows us to come in with the custom byproduct feeds provided by those companies.
Producers buying from Illinois companies will find some additional ease of use. The companies and their byproducts are already listed in the cost of feedstuffs calculator. Again, the calculator allows livestock managers, consultants, and veterinarians to compare the costs of purchasing, transporting, and storage losses for different types of feedstuffs. The feedstuffs library includes 120 different feedstuffs comprising 22 company co-products, 25 byproducts, 5 new generation co-products, 27 forages, 11 grains, 9 crop residues, 12 silages, and 9 supplements. In addition, producers can add additional feedstuffs available on their farm. Each of the feedstuffs can be compared to the default feedstuffs, which is number 2 shelled corn, 44% soybean meal, and mid-bloom alfalfa hay. The calculator can be downloaded free of charge from the Fast Tools section of the University of Illinois FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain market and the folks at the Andersons. Join us today. Greg Johnson is on the line with me. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Very much moving in your area. You draw from, I think, a pretty large region in the east central part of Illinois, and would suspect if anybody's moving, they would might be bringing something to you. What's happening there? Anything?
It was very slow this morning. We're starting to see a few hardy souls venture out this afternoon. Even more so, we'll be venturing out tomorrow. It hasn't translated into selling yet, although with this nice little rally late in the day, we may see a little bit of farmer movement. But last week was a wet week. Farmers didn't get very much done, maybe one and a half days in the field. And hopefully this week will be a lot better.
And do you think they ought to be making sales at this point?
I think really it all depends on where they're at percentage-wise. If they've got half their crop sold, I think they can probably afford to wait. If they don't have half sold, we hit December futures at $4 a week or so ago. If we approach those kind of numbers again, that's a good place to get to make those catch-up sales that we always talk about, and the same way on the $10, $10.20 area on the beans. So we're, you know, another good day like today away from those kind of numbers, and if we can get that, yes, I think you should reward the market because the yields are there, and we can make money selling at those prices.
Man, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes at 364, January 378, next year 396. Beans are 987, January 988, and next fall 941.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. U.S. Senator Roland Burris is insistent that health care reform legislation include a strong public option. He says a government-run health insurance program would help drive down costs because it would compete with private insurers. Burris says any provision that would let states opt out of the public option is not as strong. Burris has a new relevancy in Washington because Democrats need every vote they can to pass health care reform. He was shunned in the Senate after being appointed by disgraced former Governor Rob Blagojevich. The state's junior senator says he's following the will of his constituents by demanding a public option. Champaign County police say they're treating a woman's death near Muhammad as a probable homicide. Police say they were called to the Candlewood Mobile Home Park near Lake of the Woods at mid-morning and found the woman's body there. Sheriff police aren't saying how the woman may have died or what may have led to the death, nor are they releasing her identity. It's unclear if Illinois will start enforcing a hotly debated abortion notification law this week after all. After decades of legal wrangling, it appeared the law requiring physicians to notify parents before their teenage daughters get an abortion would take effect tomorrow, but state regulators now say a grace period for doctors has been extended several days. The State Department of Financial and Professional Regulation granted an initial 90-day grace period in August, but spokeswoman Susan Hofer says the agency issued an extension late Friday. It'll remain until the state's Medical Disciplinary Board meets on Wednesday. After months of general decline, an indicator of economic performance in Illinois has taken a healthy uptick. But the author of the University of Illinois Flash Index cautions against putting too much optimism behind a 0.7% jump in October. He says the reading is still well below the level of growth, and employment statistics may lag behind increases in corporate tax receipts, which is one factor the Flash Index measures. A biomedical science professor at the U of I says the pig is the ideal animal to study if you want to research lifestyle and health issues in the United States. Professor Larry Shook led an international group of scientists that decoded the DNA of the domestic pig. I'm Tom Rogers.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on what's happening in the world of agricultural weather. And Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us this afternoon to take a look at that. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, how's the view up there from the Boeing building today?
Ah, it's nice to see some sun here, finally, after a week of cloud cover and off and on rain. And so, dry day, although a few sprinkles here in northeastern Illinois starting off the day. But so far, the view's been pretty good.
And do you think that view will stay good all week long, and more importantly, will be good all week long across the entire Midwest?
Yeah, exactly, Todd. Our thoughts are exactly that, and this is the driest week on tap in many weeks, you know, going back to September across the entire state. It's not a totally bone dry week, but the rain activity is going to just be, you know, sprinkles, scattered light rain showers infrequently. So as a result, it's a much drier week here. And that's primarily confined to the northern sections of the state, let alone the northern and far eastern areas of the Midwest. So much different week here, much drier week. Temperatures are going to be warming up as we go through the week as well. So that's going to allow things to dry down here this week, which will then continue into next week as well.
And then if you get further out, so maybe you could give me some highs, I guess, this week. Whether we get a little wind along with that, not much, because producers would be awfully concerned about corn going down if you did. And then next week, you see good conditions as well. What are the highs and wind conditions? And after that, do we stay this way?
Yeah, well, big picture-wise, for the next couple weeks, we think this pattern is in place. So it's not a short-duration pattern, but in the least 2 weeks of dry and warmer weather. And by warmer, we're talking about highs generally in the 50s far up north, or for specifically Illinois and Indiana here, far northern areas will see upper 50s and then 60s the rest of the states here, with even potential of some 70s coming up over the upcoming weekend. Some fluctuations here and there, but certainly anomalously warm for the first half of November, and that's here right across the Midwest.
All right. Anything to talk about in South America?
Well, we're seeing a good rain event, which is needed in Argentina, which has trended drier in recent weeks. Few areas, though, are missing out, namely the southern corn and soybean belt in Argentina. So that's the item to watch longer term. Does that area get some rain, or do they continue to have some dryness issues as we go through the month?
Is there any reason to be concerned about the wheat crop in Australia?
Well, they haven't had the best of conditions for their season as a whole, and so they're likely going to see much lower production here this year due to, you know, drought starting off their growing season back last fall for them. But now for their spring here, they've had some pretty extreme wetness, and then that's been followed by dryness. Not the greatest conditions for growing a wheat crop.
All right. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
And that is Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. And if you're getting started in the field, Be careful, don't get stuck, and when you get the opportunity, close your eyes and take a little rest. And if you're traveling those back roads, watch out for the combines and the tractors. There'll be mud on the roads, don't gripe about that, and don't run into the back of one of those vehicles. They're awfully big to hit. I'm Todd Gleason.